Welcome to the Beyond Best podcast.
I'm Alex.
And I'm Eduardo.
We'll share with you interesting stories of people who are part of Best.
We hope you enjoyed the show.
Let us maybe talk a bit about Bun, then we can see. You are, as you some of our listeners may know, you are our current representative of Bun. The first executive board. I think that the first question that I would have for you is, I mean, your mandate is pretty much over. It's like it's going to end in a few months.
Yeah.
So, and the time was like very quick. I mean, I was there from the beginning and I was like, whoa, oh my God. It's almost done. No, I can't believe that. So I would like to ask you, what have you learned during this period in the Bun board? And first, what learned you? And also maybe if you can elaborate on what motivated and what inspired you to take on this challenge or in this leadership role?
Yeah. Okay. I will start from the latter. So I think the motivation came out of the understanding of the idea of the opportunity that comes like with the association. So when I was like understanding that like there was a serious thinking and a serious work behind the structuring of this new association, I kept my ear open and I was trying to understand, you know, like what the dynamics were, what was happening and stuff. And what I realized in the last years is that most of the friends, most of the friends that I made after leaving Best were besties, mm-hmm. like were alumni that were not connected through an alumni organization. They were just like random alumni that for some reason somehow like kept connection with each other, or somehow, you know, there was a way that there was some communication ongoing. And so like I have all of this bunch of good friends that I, you know, like I really spent a lot of time with, even if not in person, but still. And this is only happened because like of the fact that somehow there was a connection. Now, I thought myself that what if, you know, there is a system that allows people to keep connected? Shouldn't be just better, shouldn't just like allow more people to have such kind of possibility. And you know, for me, this was the, you know, the first thing, but there was not the only thing, like also the possibility that out of all of these great minds, you know, can come something good. And, you know, even if not directly, like indirectly, maybe, you know, someone like, you know, someone who wants to start a new project in some fields, for example, in education, but he doesn't know where to start from. And here he could have all of the resources that are necessary to start, you know. So, you know, I see many of these, I saw many of these possibilities, and I said, you know, like this is something that could be extremely valuable. Let's give it a try. Plus, like I knew that I would leave my job because I had, like I made the decision. The deadline was over, and so I said, probably I will have some more time if that uh-huh. is necessary. So this was the decisional like process behind. What I learned during these years, well, for sure. I learned much more about managing team of remote people. I you know, I did something in the past, but not enough. Mm-hmm. Right now, like, you know, I have much more structured approach on this. I know, like, I am much more familiar with the tools to do this. I am valuing much more, you know, the little things that someone does, and valuing, like, evaluating the optimization of the time. Mm-hmm. And the tasks, right? So, like, you don't do stuff that is not useful. You don't do, you know, you just skip things that are not necessary. And like, this is really something that I understood while doing it. You know, maybe, you know, we would have someone writing the minutes while someone would take the notes on something else, and then we'll try to match them later. Like, no point. You know, let's just all work on the same document and then copy paste to the other one. That's it. That doesn't matter. You know, like, we need to work on the serious stuff. And yeah, so I think, like, it's a lot of practical things that I learned, I would say. And then, of course, like, I have a very clear idea of how the alumni around Europe and the world are scattered and what they are doing. And I know different ways to try to motivate them to join a bigger community. Now, like, we just need to reach them and ensure that everyone knows that we are there. Good.
Do you want to ask the next one?
I mean, I was thinking that I'm speaking too much because I have this kind of tendency, but if you want to.
Okay, I mean, I can continue fine. So that's really fascinating. I mean, 2 years of your time dedicated to this association. What does this, in a lot of time, I can see that you did, like, amazing work, and the association was nothing when you came, and now, I mean, there is people involved, there are many projects going on right now. We can talk a bit maybe about those. So, two questions. What was your favorite part on working on Bern, and what is your least favorite part?
Okay, so first of all, I need to say that the things that are happening in Bern is not just thanks to me or, like, just the board. The things are happening because there are many people, like, for example, you guys, that are, like, took the passion in doing you know, a particular set of tasks or job or project, whatever you want to call it, and they are doing it. You know, and I think that this is important. You know, like, people that keep their commitment, this is what makes something like this work. What are the things that I like the most, and I think that I like the least? Okay, so for sure, if we can start from the things that I like the least.
Is it easier?
probably there are, okay, like, conversations that go like on the very, like, flaming side that sometimes happen. Those are things that are never, like, very, very easy to handle. And, you know, like, they can be, you know, you can be as superficial as you want on, like, you know, taking it easy, but anyway, you are reading them, you know, like, you are, you know, that this is what you're doing, and if someone doesn't appreciate what you're doing, is like, like, you know, you ask yourself why. Like, at least you need to ask yourself why there is someone that's behaving that way. So probably that. And then there is the other little bit that is, you know, about people taking maybe some task and not doing it after they said that they would. That is actually annoying because we really, you know, like you maybe put effort in explaining and talking and stuff, and then it just disappears. But this is something that is absolutely normal in every volunteering things where you don't have too much accountability, let's say. So I think I can live with that a bit more, but still it's not cool.
for sure.
Regarding the good sides, well, for sure, like I love working with my team, especially Maria and Jeffrey. They're nice, they're great, and it's it's always a pleasure to speak with them. Like we talk every week, and you know, like we pretty much never fight it. And when there was something that we were not agreeing on, like we would just really very professionally talk through it and reach to like very reasonable conclusions. Agreements very quickly. It's like even if we couldn't really meet much, that was like two or three times that we met. It's like maybe two than three. It's been nice. So like actually with Maria, I don't think we met during these years. No, I think I met only once. I think I met her in Paris. I was there one time. So it's like for sure working with them is nice, and also you know the rest of the volunteers I like to have to do with people, and so speaking with you know, I could name every single name, but the truth is, I enjoy the conversation with them.
Cool.
And I think I like the satisfaction of actually having something that works. You know, that is, you know that everything that is happening, it's anyway like because like you are one like gear that is working in there. And, you know, without that gear, probably it wouldn't work.
Yeah, absolutely. And maybe something that would be interesting for the listeners of the podcast and what you mentioned before about volunteering and not being appreciated and how you can deal with difficult situations and difficult conversations. So what is your recipe, which I'm sure maybe it won't work for everyone, but how do you deal with when you don't feel appreciated when you do something that you think it's for better for everyone? Are you demotivated at that time, or do you do something to regain your grounds?
This is a nice question. I like it. I think that you should always value the things that happen around you. So you should always understand, like, and get as feedback the things that are happening, right? So if you're doing a podcast and no one is listening to it, but you think you didn't do anything wrong, so you do it again and no one is listening to it.
Yeah.
But you still, you know, with your stubborn like head, you say, no, okay, I'm going to do it again the same way. That's it. I think, you know, like, you probably should change a bit the approach. So this is what I learned, you know. So you should say, okay, maybe there is something that we can change. Maybe, you know, that criticism, you know, it was really harsh, but maybe there is something that can come out like of it. And the recipe, the important thing is never to take things personal. Like you should not mix a thing that you did with what you are. Like, you know that you're a good person and you know that you are putting your effort in doing this thing. You know, if it doesn't come out right, like at the first time or even the second time or even the third time, it doesn't mean, you know, that you are bad. It means that, okay, you know, like the cake doesn't come out good or the oven. There may be many factors, you know, it could even be the oven. and you don't have power over fixing it, you know? So I think like this is the important bit, is like as long as you feel okay with doing it, you should go ahead. But you should learn from what happens, you know, and without being afraid of changing it even radically.
And I just wonder, when did you have this realization? Was it like last year? Was it because of Ban, or did you have it even before or during your work to not associate yourself with the work that you do?
I think, this is a bit of a mix thing. Like you get it a bit from here, a bit from there. Okay. I definitely learned it from work. It's like, you know, I got given instructions on things that have to be done. I do it in a certain way. Then some people say, okay, it's good. Some people complain.
Yeah.
So, you know, like, so let's try to see and understand and stuff. You know, you keep iterating, right? So you keep understanding like what are like the things that someone is addressing to the work, and if someone is addressing something to you, right? The things that someone is addressing to you, you just forget them. Like, you know, your personal, like you're building yourself as a better person shouldn't be coming out of the insults that someone else gives you. Like maybe a constructive feedback, that is something, you know, if someone puts the effort to give you a constructive feedback, then it means that it may be valuable, you know? Or if he doing this insult, he actually is losing something, then in that moment, maybe that insult is something that you should, you know, you should work on, like you should, okay, like he insulted me, is he right? Right. But only in that moment. If someone is like, is giving it just because in this way he feels better, then you shouldn't care. Right. Like, you know, like it's all about the effort someone puts in something like this. Like it's, that is the thing that makes you understand if something is useful or not.
How do you manage? I mean, maybe the question to ask there is, how do you manage your emotions there? Because I mean, if someone says some very stupid things to you, you can get pissed and you can scream at them. And how do you? Have a way of like managing our emotions, or what, have you come to the conclusion somehow?
Maybe Edu, if I can add on top of what you say, I think at work it can be kind of easier, correct me if I'm wrong, to disassociate it. But it, my question was really more related to, let's say, non-profit things, because we invest out of just because we want to learn something or we like the idea and so on. And I guess if the effort that somebody puts, it's not appreciated, or even worse, what you mentioned, that it might be go to some kind of very, very heated discussions. How can you really keep this motivation not to say, fuck this shit, nobody pays me, I'm leaving? You know, this is kind of a way how our listeners can get some kind of tips and tricks, because I guess as well, not only professionals who are engineers, but also students who volunteer their time in engineering organizations are going to listen to that.
Yeah. And I think of course you need to value all of the people that are telling you thank you, right? So there is a lot of people that still tell you thank you. And actually this is also why I always ask for feedback, and I always like ask people to give their own, you know, their own impression, because this is really motivating who's behind the thing. You know, if someone put effort in writing an article and you tell him good article, even if it's just one comment and say, oh, good article, it's like that person is going to be extremely motivated. The criticism, it's something I think that I learned when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. Like when I was a kid, I was very, let's say, not accepting criticisms.
To say the least.
So I understood that there was a lot of effort to be put in order to keep that kind of line. And with time, you know, I step by step learned how to detach myself from such an attitude more and more. Until the moment that you understand that whatever insult someone can give you is just words, you know, there is like this kind of insults that I think, you know, like they are famous in every country. There are the different ones, you know, about
we
like
all
mother,
sister,
whatever. and then, you know, like you realize if you are cold and if you just, you know, get what they are meaning, like what is the meaning of the words that they are saying. And then you can just play with the words, like in a way that it just turns it around, mm-hmm. like immediately. And they don't know what to respond because, you know, like what, you know, they, like their insult comes out of, you know, a common word while yours, it's a very personalized word. And it makes it makes the whole thing extremely funny for you and for anyone else who would be listening. But, you know, like the other person is in trouble. So I think this is the same attitude that I think, like I take whenever someone gives me a non-constructive feedback. So when someone tells me, oh, you know, like, I don't have time to read your, you know, like your discussions on these things. So I like, you know, I don't have time because we are busy, because we are doing serious things.
Yeah.
And like, okay, so what? So you are not able to manage your filters in your email and you're blaming me. So, you know, this is the thing that I am thinking. It's not even, you know, should I find a way to like put less information? No, it's like you are not giving me anything to work on. You're just telling me that you are pissed because you have too many things to do. Yeah, man, like it's your problem. It's not mine. You know, like I think, you know, like we actually did think a lot about the way that we manage information and we manage like filtering, for example. We like the and everything in order to allow people to have a very clean understanding of what's going on. So I know that we worked on that very, very carefully from the very beginning. So I'm very confident now when I like have a feedback like that to just say, you know, man, this is not my problem. You have a problem, not me.
That's cool. I mean, that's interesting. Basically, what I understand from what you said is that there are different levels of feedback and some of them are not, they're addressed to you, but they're actually not for you, but for the other person, right?
Yes, yeah,
in a way. In a way, you know, so.
Yeah, I don't know. What I like about you said is this short of distancing. Distancing, yeah. that this approach, you know, that to really listen carefully and to reply to the actual points and to try to make the difference. I find it's enlightening. It's enlightening.
Yeah, but it's like everything. I think like you shouldn't reply or think by predefined structures. You always need to listen carefully to what the other person is saying in order to understand what he's trying to say. And like understand if there is anything valuable in it. But, you know, like if there is nothing valuable, don't worry about discarding it. Yeah.
Nice.
So I guess we go back to Ben a bit because we already ran away.
True.
So how do you see Ben going forward after you finish your mandate? Like, what is the future?
Yeah, like I had extremely big like plans, you know, for this organization. I still have,
Maybe you want to share some of those.
Yeah, I would like Pan to become an important point of reference, like from a point of view of especially human resources. I would like Pan to become like an important point of reference in Europe, especially, but in the world in general. I would like to see people from Pan being the one who, you know, who help the guys at Caritas, the guys, you know, the people from Pan who are the one that are organizing something with TED, you know, the guys from Pan that are, you know, interacting with the World Health Organization to do a better digital system to spread information in the correct way, you know. I would like to see this thing happening, and this could very well happen because, you know, the technical people that are able to interact with other people can be very, very effective. So mm-hmm. on the long term, I would say that there are many possibilities, but for now, the couple of things that I really would like to see is a fairly active community of people who are exchanging ideas. This is really what I would like to see working within the next year or a couple of years. I think the interaction that there is between members is still limited now. I would aspire for something way more dynamic. Mm-hmm. Well, you get there by steps for sure. First of all, you need to grow in members. You need to have more members. The network has a value only if it has members. Otherwise, it's not a big network. So, in order to give value to this, so you need to have things that happen to within the network or thanks to the network, right? So, I think there are already a few things that can be valued from across the whole spectrum of age and necessities that different people can have, right? So we could have something that is more social, something that is more about the training and learning side, something that is a bit more entertainment or passing some good time. And there is this is between all the projects that we are bringing on, and while the network grows, then what you can do is again increase your connections with other organizations. So in the moment that you have enough people and whatever decided to work on a certain kind of thing. So let's say, okay, we want to do a technical podcast that speaks only about, programming in this kind of languages or something. And we want to do this together with the University of Uppsala that has this super good, professors or whatever. Mm. And this is going to be the de facto most important podcast on that topic. I don't know. And then maybe, you have someone from the C Foundation or something that comes to you and say, oh guys, your podcast is amazing. We probably could start a whole educational programming education system together with you because these are that. This is the way that things happen. The things happen because you are doing something. So I just would like more and more projects to start and see what comes out of it.
It's quite interesting. Edu?
Quite interesting. I don't know. I'm trying to think what they can ask. No, I mean the next question that I have prepared, at least, is I guess we cannot go out without talking about, let's say, the past. Still, I mean, so what you wish you could have done that you didn't manage to do in the time that you were you know, president of Bern.
Oh.
What you wish could have been simpler and was much harder to do as well, or what was prevented by, say, COVID?
Yeah.
Because, you know.
Yeah.
It happens.
Because it happens.
Yeah, this is an easy question to answer. Because, okay. what I would have liked to happen is more meetings in person. Like, really, I think that would have been showing how present we are, how many, how good we, like, you know, like how many good things we want to do. And, you know, to have like a different, like to actually open this different view on the alumni community as something that is, you know, actually really cool and gives you many possibilities. What I found harder than it should have been is to motivate people to join. And, you know, even like with the situation that we had with this COVID and stuff, we had our member base to grow like constantly. So this is good. Mm-hmm. But not close to what I was hoping, let's say. So this has been way harder than expected. So, for example, from the number of projects that were born, I would say that we are aligned pretty much on the quite ambitious expectations that we had. And also, like, from in general, like, you know, the whole ongoing of the organization has been fairly smooth. You know, there has not been any major, like, you know, hiccups or anything. The thing that it's been hard and it's still, like, we are still working hard on it is how to make more people join. I would say that. I think, like, because it's difficult, it's more difficult to make understand the value of what we are doing if you are not meeting someone in person and explaining him, like, what is that you're doing? Because you need time to read, you know, and reading is boring. But while, you know, you are chatting and you are doing, like, having a beer together or something, it's all another story. It's just another story. It's like, oh, come on.
Yeah,
like,
it's way better.
Yeah, yeah. Now we're like, come on, join Ban. You too. Like, you just play. You take your phone and just join. That's it. And it changes. It changed the way that things are. And, like, why I'm in so much insisting on this? I can see that the number of people that are asking then, like, for projects or things to do, or, you know, just some help to give, it's directly proportional with the number of people joining. So, I'm not expecting all the people to do something, and especially, you know, like, when someone is an alumnus, means that he has a professional, personal life that generally it's fairly packed up. And I see myself, you know, before getting in touch back, like, with the alumni world after I left BEST, it took me several years, right? But if there was a network that I could just join and keep, like, that would keep me informed of what's going on, I would have joined, you know, because, like, and maybe that would have let me, like, allow me to meet more people than the ones that I met. So this is like exactly what I'm saying. Or maybe I could have like joined the training that I didn't have joined, like, or, you know, maybe seen, listened to that podcast that didn't exist. So yeah, I see, like, I see that there is value. And it's just that if you meet in person, you can transmit, you can show this value more easily.
Yeah, I guess we can all agree that not meeting in person is hard, and it is one of the main reasons why we started BAM, really, was to allow for people to meet in person more easily and to have an organization that allow us to organize a meeting in person, because whenever you're talking about meeting in person, it does get more complicated, and it does require like financing and like booking an hotel and something. So you need to have an organization for that, and that's one of key reasons why BAM exists. And maybe I want to go back to the HR part that you mentioned. How do you see, maybe can you clarify that? How do you see BAM providing HR to other organizations? So what do you exactly mean? You would see BAM collaborating with other organizations to develop like a technological projects, or to be honest, I didn't really understand what your point there. So maybe you could elaborate further.
Yeah, I think like there are several possibilities. Like one is that, there is a problem that comes out, mm-hmm. and like we are known as people who are able to solve problems. So they would try to outsource the problem to us, and we would have this like a newly formed task force that would solve that problem, you know. And for example, mm-hmm. like, you know, let's go back on the World Health Organization that needs an app to do, I don't know, information distribution of this thing for all the people that are within dot meters from that kind of device or place or, I don't know, like that have to do with some particular substances or, I don't know. Is like mm-hmm. criteria. So who do they ask to? So they can ask, you know, someone to, like, you know, they have to pay someone to do it, or they can ask some other, you know, government to provide the sources, or they can ask to other organizations. And we may be the one who are ready to do something like that, you know, like we have a team of people that are like there, like waiting and ready to be like be able to do this. The other mm-hmm. thing is to structure people in order to be able to create things on their own. So for example, like how do you start a new non-for-profit or a new business or a new whatever? Like what are the steps that you need to follow? What do you need to do in order to learn those things? And generally, you know, you need to do maybe an MBA, maybe this, maybe that. But sometimes, like, what I see is that maybe here we could have all the resources that bring you, like, the necessary tools to actually start on your own without, you know, the need of spending 20,000 euros or something like this. So I see all of these things like that that can happen, that can be available. But yeah, like you need to structure them like step by step. And one thing that I think it's very immediate and could be very useful from the very beginning is if we structure like our directory in a good way and allow people to find each other and share the skills that we have in an easy way, sort of LinkedIn that is internal to us, like made in a way that is like easy to find for us and stuff like this. That would be straight away something useful, I think, because, you know, if you are looking for people to work in your company, you can give recommendation with someone that more, much more easily you can trust. But also you can create working groups much easier because you can find skills. And then you know that the mindset is going to be already aligned. That is the most important thing often. You know, you need to be able to communicate with these people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah.
Cool. I have, guess I have one last question in on Ben. So as your mandate starts to fade and as the leaves start to fall, I guess...
I can do just a feedback from my side. When you're asking the question, there is a lot of noise that you're doing.
Okay, I don't know.
I think you're
every
you're,
time, or
I think you're tapping with the hand on the
keyboard or something. Yeah.
No, I was playing with a notebook.
Yes,
it really can be. I mean, now I can really hear it. In the past, it wasn't there so much, but
no, because I was really playing now. So
okay. Just playing with that notebook and ask the question.
Okay, so where I ask 1, 2, 3, let me ask the question. So given that, you know, your mandate is really close to its end, and you are like preparing the next month, the last few months, what would you say to someone that would be willing to take this leadership role in the future? Like to maybe the next president of BAN or the next secretary or the next treasurer, why should they join and why should they take this role?
Okay. I think there are like two or three different factors that are like good reason to be part of this. Like one is the mission of the organization. Like the organization has the mission of connecting besties and connecting like former besties and connecting people is always something nice. I think, if I think about the happy moments of my life, it's always, and I think like this is something that we share, it's always with someone else. Right, it's very rare that you have moments, super happy moment that is not shared with someone else. And who are the people that you want to share those things? Generally, like you know, you have not many alternatives. You have family, you have like the small circle of friends that you may have, generally, like there is this extended group of people that are like for maybe from work, but generally there are some boundaries that make things not necessarily always super nice. Like it's rare that someone says, oh, you know, like at work I had my best time of my life. You know, it's a bit rare. So, you know, this is where an organization like this network can actually really be something that gives you some good, you know, like a good source of good moments and happiness. And leading it means simply allow these things to happen. So that should be motivation number one. Motivation number two is that you're actually going to meet a lot of people. Now, like I, in particular, like having done this during COVID, didn't meet in person so many people in the second part. At the beginning, I did though. Before COVID started, I really did meet a lot of people, like from the board of BEST, that two boards of BEST that I made friends with. And the various like LBGs where I've been like traveling around just to get to know them and stuff, plus all of the of besties here and there that just because you know like you are sort of figure they like would like to have a chat with you, and so you have, you know, a bit of conversation about that, and then you have a conversation about, like, you know, life and other things, and also the connection with many people that, you know, you met while you were in Best, but otherwise you wouldn't meet, really. Like, it would be very hard to do. So these are for sure very motivating. Plus, there is the, you know, the possibility to do something like in a team, like to lead a team to do something. So you learn the skill of leading a team remotely. And you see what are the problems you face them for real, and I think it's a good thing. It's a lot of learning that you can have. You learn to work remotely, and to manage your time better. That is another point. On a particular note, that is not, you know, a reason to join, but. Is not a reason not to join, is to think that it would take too much time. So too much time, there is no such thing as too much time. Like, learning how to manage your time is something critical if you want to be effective in your life. And effective people often overbook their schedule. They take more things that they can physically do. They just prioritize afterwards. And I think this, like, is not something that takes too much. I would say that if you have a good scheduled day, and you can allocate like 1 hour per day in an average to something external, to whatever is your normal like work day, it's more than enough to do everything that is what to do, like with the management of the organization. 1 hour per day would be early. It's already a lot. I would say that you need much less. So like probably 3 or 4 hours a week are already enough. Like, well, yeah. So yeah, these are the set of things that I would say.
Cool. I really like it how you put all the benefits there. And I think it's very easy for someone to imagine that it's not only the benefits, but also it's not so time consuming, because I guess everybody would think it's on their mind, I don't have the time, right? And we really live in society that we are drained with not important things.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody is doing on the phones, and then another notification, then suddenly it's 2 years later.
Yeah. And actually, on this note, I would actually, we always speak about time. But the truth, like, I think that the right word to say sometimes is attention.
Mm-hmm.
So you shouldn't confuse time with attention, because time we have plenty. Often we waste it in many ways that we don't really want to. So I think like it's getting control of the attention that you have. That is the very critical thing to do.
Attention and connections. I think those are the keywords that you just said, that they're very important, very, very important for life in general, I think, and for Ben, meeting people, connections, learning about how to manage your time, learning how to pay more attention to the small things. I think that many, many valuable things that you just mentioned. Mm-hmm. And
self-management,
why not? Self-management.
Yeah, self-management, exactly. Life management and self-management, I would say. And I just wonder, because it's already 2 hours interview, so maybe would you like to share maybe the something that you would like us to ask you, maybe to answer some question that we haven't so far, like final words? Is there something that you really want to share in the podcast and we miss it?
Well, Yeah, actually, I didn't think about this in advance. So I actually didn't think about something that I would bring on on my own. But okay.
What comes to mind right now?
Yeah, anything? What comes to mind, I think. So it's always like this, a kind of attitude that I have to try and find what is priority in every moment, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I was saying education. We spoke about that, so I think like we did, and I think like probably I think the important thing that I found recently, and that I actually want to explore more, is this bit of the effective altruism. So mm-hmm. this is extremely fascinating for me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fascinating because I think that it's completely underestimated undervalued, like how this is critical. Many people don't even know the word or the meaning, and I don't know. It's something that the more I think about it, the more it makes sense. So, like, this is about ensuring that the efforts that you that are done for charitable purposes, but not only for charitable purposes, but in general, like let's talk about that, are done in an effective way, right? So let's say you spend $10. You want to give $10 a day to do good. So what you can do? Maybe $10 a day. If you are three people, you can give shelter to a homeless, right? Mm-hmm. So you spend $10 a day in three, and that is enough money to give shelter to a homeless. Yeah, fair. Like, this is an important thing, would be good. And you can give this man an opportunity to stand, like to open a better life, whatever. Then, like, if someone tells you that with $10, you can actually buy three bed nets, right?
Yeah.
What do you do with three bed nets? Well, so one bed net can probably save potentially the life of one person every I don't know how many from malaria in a country, just because it doesn't get bitten by a mosquito.
The mosquitoes. Mm-hmm.
So it's not really it seems silly, and it's not really sexy, I would say. But those $10 every day, like that you give, they buy three bed nets that every day like add up, and in 1 month it's 100 bed nets that you gave. That probably out of like those 100 bed nets, probably one person gets saved from being from dying from malaria. So would you say that 1/3 of the rent of a homeless was more important than saving the life of a person that would die from malaria? So this is effective altruism, understanding what is more important. And I'm not saying that one thing should be completely abandoned compared to the other. Like, of course, there is a whole structure of how things should be done with the different priorities and different levels and stuff. But there are some things that are necessarily more important than others, right? And I think that this is extremely important, not only because of the help that you give to the others, but also for the help that you can give to yourself to understand what is really that you need. How much money do you need? How much, of all of this career, super money that we want to do, and this quantity of goods that we want to have is actually necessary for us. I realized that for me, I don't need much, and I don't aspire to have, crazy amount of things. Yeah, there are like several things that are unnecessary, but I still want them. But I know exactly what is the limit. That, you know, yeah, I will get that and I would be a bit happier, but I will get also that other bit, and that probably will not be like make me more happy than what I am already. You know, I am super passionate about cars. You know, I could, you know, go crazy for a Maserati or a Ferrari or Bugatti or whatever. So I could, you know, say, okay, I save for like these years and I make the end, I get to this salary and then I get that car, and that would be super cool. But the truth is, you know, I can just spend 1,000 euros and rent it for one day, and it would be exactly the same. It's like, well, because once you own it, then what? You know? So it's like, I think it's just understanding what is really important. And this, like effective altruism, makes you understand how small, like how big is the value of the things that... That may seem simple, and that they may cost like very, very small amount of money compared to what we spend every day for very silly things, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, like this is something that I advise everyone to explore.
Effective altruism. And what are the, let's say, maybe the key principles of effective altruism, if you have to summarize?
So I think like the key concept is to do the most good possible with the resources that you can spare. I think that is the main concept. But there is a lot of stuff to read on the matter. So yeah, hopefully I will share a bit more, maybe like in the newsletter in the next months.
Cool.
And yes. I also plan to get in touch with the organization and see, but I didn't yet. So like, yeah, this is a bit of speculation right now, but I hope I will speak with them soon.
We would appreciate if you can as well send us after the show some links, and we can add them to the show notes.
For sure.
So our listeners will... as well learn about effective altruism. And I think that, at least for me, what resonates, what you mentioned there, was that I like minimalism itself. And I think the concepts, in a way, are kind of the same or similar, because in the minimalism as well, it's like, why you're a slave of all these stuffs, which they just occupied your life? What you can do with minimum things, you know? Mm-hmm. Because your focus is not accumulating. Yeah. Your focus should be about living the life.
Yeah. And yeah, like this is a very interesting topic that I think like we could speak for another half an hour.
Yeah, I guess for another podcast.
That's fascinating. But that's fascinating to see that... I mean, it goes counter to many things in the world right now, where I guess people are really coming to realize that all these excesses, they do not bring that much value to you. Like, what really brings value is what we just talked about. I mean, like the connections, or, you know, spending time with people, the love. How can you effectively help others? How can you help others to learn? Education, so important that sometimes you forget.
Yeah.
So
that's a good point.
Very many good points here. Mm-hmm. I guess we can.
So maybe the last thing that we need to ask you is, because I think that we are already 2 hours.
Yes, we are already two hours.
So the last thing, it's where people can connect with you.
I have a few months ago I started to like be present in several social media and stuff, but. I think the best way to connect with me, it's to write me an email to my personal email. There's a like a name dot a name at surname.net, so David at biasco.net. For sure, like you, like if you are a member of BAN, you contact me on Slack. I'm there. In general, like I'm available on many, many ways. So just write me, then we will find a way to communicate.
As long as you're not learning, they will be able to find a way to reach you.
Pigeon carrier.
No. Like I have like a Facebook page that is Davide Biasco. I have a Twitter account that is Davide Biasco. I have a LinkedIn profile where I can be connected to. So yeah, there are several. Right. But I guess like to speak with me, just write me an email.
Cool, awesome. So Davide, aka Thunder, thank you so much for being part of our show. I mean, for me, I learned a lot of things from you and about you as well, so it was a pleasure.
My pleasure.
I thank you. I think I have the same to say. It was very interesting conversation, and my friend Thunder, well, talk to you next time, and thank you for doing that.
Like really, I appreciate the conversation.
This was the Beyond the Best podcast.